And that was Dustin Chapman with Slow Dance. I think that was the first song that really made waves around here at Music Mafia Radio. And as I said, I might possibly not come back alone. I didn't come back alone because on the line, I've got Dustin himself. How you doing, brother?
I am doing great, and I hope you are.
You know, when I get to do stuff like this, it just doesn't get any better than this.
Oh, well, I appreciate you having me on. It means a lot to me.
Yeah. I gave him an outline of what we're going to talk about tonight. And so why don't we go ahead and why don't you just kind of give everybody the history of Dustin Chapman?
All right. Well, if we're talking about music, you know, I got into music myself in choir in middle school, which is funny because that's what I'm teaching right now. And so I was 11 years old, fell in love with it, fell in love with being on stage, stuck with it throughout high school. Believe it or not, I was doing musical theater and all that good stuff. So country music was like not even in my brain yet. But it was when I was 17 and I was diagnosed with a super rare esophageal disease called achalasia that I really found how vital music is to me and my testimony, my individuality, and it helped me through some really tough times. And that's when I started songwriting, just hoping that I could put, you know, create lyrics that other people could relate to and bring some positivity to their lives. And haven't stopped since. You know, I went and majored in music in college, and now I am teaching music myself and gigging all around and doing some pretty cool stuff, if I say so. So
yeah, as I mentioned off air, you know, it certainly hasn't been a boring year for you. I guess I beat you by a couple of years, because I think I was in like fifth or sixth grade when I decided I wanted to go down the music rabbit hole and just had a blast with it. But you mentioned, you know, you try and write stuff that's relatable. What is the songwriting process for you?
You know, it's different every time. Sometimes I have a hook that just comes to mind and I run with it. Other times it's me sitting at my piano coming up with a progression I like and then just writing lyrics based on how that progression is making me feel. A lot of times I try to tell, and this might sound a little crazy, but I try to write other people's stories, and I write my songs from personal experience as well. But a lot of times it is me looking from the outside in and making songs that tell someone else's story, but in a way that other people can relate to it. So,
well, and I think you do a good job, because the songs definitely are relatable, and the storytelling is just absolutely fantastic from a lyrical standpoint. The thing that always gets me is your use of vocal harmonies. Every time it breaks out into those harmonic sections, the hair on my arms stand up, and so I got to ask you. I mean, what is it about your harmonies that is hitting my ear in a way that just makes me go, oh my God, that is just absolutely incredible?
Well, you know, I think it might have something to do with family harmony. You know, me and Riley harmonizes all my stuff. I harmonize on her stuff, and then I do my own harmonies on my stuff as well. So what you're hearing on all my tracks is Riley doing a higher harm and me doing a lower one. And I don't know, I arrange everything myself, like I hear it by ear and just go with it. And I don't know, I guess it might have something to do with the family aspect. And also, you know, I wrote the song, so I know exactly what I'm going for, and that might play a part in it as well. So,
yeah, it is, and it's consistent. I mean, through every song of yours that I've heard, there's that consistent strength in the harmonies. But I also love the way that you're able to build through the song. And mm-hmm. and then at some point, there's that little stop break with all those vocal harmonies. And then you get back into the song. The songwriting is just stellar, my friend. Absolutely stellar.
Thank you so much. You know, like I said, I didn't start writing until around 17, 18. So hearing that makes me feel pretty good.
Yeah, no, you've got it. So, you talked about about gigging all around, or at least having the opportunity to gig. How bad was it for you when the whole pandemic thing hit, as far as being able to get out and share your music with folks?
Yeah, well, 2020 was going to be our biggest year yet in terms of gigs. We were booked solid. And then obviously that didn't happen. And it was a little rough for me with my immune system. I had to stay like completely locked down, like was not leaving my house at all. And so that was pretty rough, but thankfully online, social media still gave us all an outlet. And you either use that to your advantage, or you kind of just use that time to, focus on other realms. For me, I used it for a lot of promotion stuff, a lot of live streams, stuff like that. But I also took that time to do a lot of songwriting, and that's where Words and Alibis came from. And so the time was a good relaxation time, reset myself and refocus and find a way, just find what I'm looking to do down the road. So.
Yeah. And again, Words and Alibis it's doing real good on the top 30. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, it's in like the top 10 now.
Hey, I like how that sounds.
I got to look, because now my brain's curious, and Monday was 2 days ago. So, oh yeah, number six.
All right.
Number six this week. So you mentioned Riley. And for our listeners that don't know the relationship, because we played Riley's single here. Well, we continue to play Riley's single here. Right. Riley Madison's one of the other artists that we have in rotation, and Dustin is her uncle, and they do stuff together and do some pretty incredible stuff. And Riley hit it out of the park with that first single too.
Yeah, the funny thing about that song is we were practicing for a gig one day, and I looked at her and I said, you know what, I'm going to write you a song that you can have as your own, because we're all at our gigs, I'm always like, I wrote this song, this is, Slow Dance, or this is Post One, or whatever, and I wanted her to be able to have something like that to say. So I wrote that song in probably about 20 minutes for her, and we took it and we ran with it, and I was pretty proud of that one, and she killed it vocally, and her deliverance was just, I'm an uncle, so I'm always going to brag about her, but I was proud of her. So
you're allowed to brag about her because it was, right. it was one of those things. I remember the email coming through from you, mm-hmm. saying, this is my niece, Riley Madison, and it's her first single, and I started listening, and I could tell it was something that you had written, because it had that same styling.
Right.
But it was really kind of cool hearing one of your songs with a different voice. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you talk about that family thing. I could make that family connection in the way that she sings, and it was really, really cool.
Well, I love that. I do. She's only 8 years younger than me, and my sister, our age difference is more than that. So Riley's more like a little sister to me than me. But we do everything together. So
yeah, and Fitty's going to jump out of her skin, because we got to wait until June. But Fitty and I are going to finally get to meet Dustin and Riley, and hear some really good music here in a couple months. And she can't wait. I can't wait.
Hey, I can't either. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's always cool. It's always cool that I love live music, and I wind my way through 2020, because we only caught two live shows the entire year, which is unusual for us.
Right.
But again, it was the whole COVID pandemic thing, and everything shut down. And I refused to do that in 2021. And actually, I think I've already beat it in 2021.
But it's here.
Yeah, and so it's going to be really, really cool to finally meet you guys. All right. Well, there's one other thing. I don't know if I want to talk about that yet, though. I don't think I want to talk about that yet. So
all right.
So you mentioned you've been doing some you were stuck at home. And you've been doing some songwriting. So what can we expect from Dustin Chapman over the course of 2021 as far as new music goes?
You know, I have some stuff that's ready to be released. I'm holding out because, you know, Words and Alibis just dropped. But I tell you, it's going to be more storytelling, probably even more than I've released before. The songs, they tell their own story in a way that is greater than me. You know, it reaches out, and I hope that it impacts people. And there's going to be some, you know, up-tempo stuff mixed in there as well as some ballads. So a couple more things coming, and you never know where else you might see me in the meantime. So
Okay. I'll leave that part at that. But it's great to hear that we're gonna get the opportunity to hear some new music throughout the year, and I guess I can't put it off anymore. well, I mean, you know, you won some ISO awards. You won Music Mafia Radio Male Artist of the Year, and then something else kind of happened too. And I'm really curious about this because I've had the opportunity to talk to somebody that went through the Voice experience.
Okay.
And somebody that's been through AGT. But you're the first person that I can say I've talked to that actually got to experience the whole American Idol phenomena.
Oh yeah.
So, and for our listeners that aren't really up to date and on what Dustin's been doing, Dustin got the opportunity to sing in front of the judges. They ridiculously didn't pick him to go on. And I don't understand the method behind their thinking, but that's all right. I'm not going to say anything more about that.
I'll point it to you in a minute. So.
Well, so what was that experience like for you?
Well, I'll just start back from the very beginning. So this year was very different for the producers in terms of COVID, you know. And so everything was done virtually. And they had a specific date set for North Carolina for virtual auditions, and it was in September. And it was all done via Zoom. And so I hopped on there and waited about 30 minutes. It was very quick. Just in a little waiting room, and they had a producer explaining everything that was going to go down. And then I was put into a breakout room and sang for a producer. I sang Slow Dance. I sang Don't Close Your Eyes by Keith Whitley, and then I sang Words and Alibis. And he was pretty impressed and sent me on to what they call the winner's circle, which is essentially where you fill out this long questionnaire telling your story, your background, all of this stuff. And then I had to sing for the executive producers that same night. And I sang Slow Dance again and another song. And I honestly don't even remember what I sang. It's been a little while. But they put me through. They said, you know what, we think you're the right fit, that you're what we're looking for. And then they moved me on to an interview with their head of casting, and I was on that interview for hours, it felt like, explaining basically from the time that I can remember throughout my entire life. They were building the storyboard, and then from there they flew me out to L.A. I was there for multiple weeks. Every day we were getting COVID tested. They had us in a bubble. We couldn't leave our hotel. Everything was filmed in the hotel, and so it was very different than what I was expecting, but it was also the most beautiful experience that I've been a part of so far. And so, you know, it was just doing interviews, filming stuff for social media, news interviews, all this stuff. And so from there, it was my audition day. I got to do Slow Dance, Don't Close Your Eyes by Keith Whitley, and then I did Help Me Hold On by Travis Tritt. Got some wonderful feedback from the judges. Katy Perry told me that I was the true definition of American Idol. Lionel Richie said that I made him feel emotionally, and Luke Bryan said I reminded him of himself. But they also said that I was extremely well polished and maybe a little too polished as a country singer, meaning I'm doing stuff with my voice vocally that you don't hear very often in country music, I guess. And they were looking for someone that they could really mold, and they think I'm already figured out who I am. It was kind of weird because you think that they're looking for someone that's already kind of figured herself out as an artist. But they ultimately, Lionel gave me a yes. Luke Bryan said no, and Katie said, come back next year. And so the last thing Lionel Richie said to me was, I really want you to come back next year because I believe you can go far in this competition. And I've already had producers reach out to me about it. So I don't know what the future holds. But you never know. I'm not going to turn down an opportunity. So I'll just leave it at that. So,
so what was it? What was it like to sing in front of those three megastars?
So I can tell you, I did not sleep at all the night before, like not one ounce of sleep that I get, because I wasn't really nervous, but I was anxious. Just playing in my head, you know, what if, what could happen, you know, all of that good stuff. And the worst thing about it was, since I played piano for myself, they didn't give me a rehearsal because they only let people rehearse who weren't playing themselves. So I hadn't got to touch a piano in 2 weeks before my audition. And so in my head, I was like, what if I like forget my chords or something, which I had them down pat. I did not forget them. But in my head, I'm just going through what if. And, but when I got in that room, everything kind of went away. I was just in that moment, in that zone. And like I said, they were very gracious and, kind with their critiques. So,
well, and you know, and that's good to hear because some of the other competition shows like that, the feedback hasn't been as positive. And again, I mean, I guess it all comes down to personal preferences and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'll tell you, I mean, Sunday night, I'm usually in the studio getting ready for that week's broadcast. And Fitty had one responsibility on Sunday night when the whole audition process was going through, and that was the minute she even thinks that Dustin's going to be on the air, she had to come grab me out of the studio. And every Sunday night I'd come out and it'd kind of be like, well, did you forget? And she said, no. And you know, it would have been great to see you. But again, I understand, and you explained it real well on social media. I mean, at the end of the day, they've got a show to produce, and they're going to make decisions and base right. what we see on those decisions. And it's not good or bad. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so much behind the scenes that people don't see that go on. And so, you know, like I said, they've already contacted me about next year. And, you know, they've probably contacted, you know, some more contestants that they have in mind for next year. So it's like, they always have a story in mind, and they're going to build off of what they're wanting to produce. And so, like I said, you never know what's going to happen, and we'll just have to hang on and see is all I can say. So,
well, I you know, Fitty kind of figured it out before you made the announcement. She kind of started putting two and two together, because you kind of went sort of silent on social media.
Mm-hmm.
and she said, you know, American Idol's coming up. I wonder. And then here comes the announcement, and it's like, yeah, she figured it out. She had it down. She knew what you were doing.
She did. We actually talked, and like, so she was one of the first people I told. Even before I announced it, because she texted me and she was like, I just got to know, like, and this can stay between us, but are you going to be on American Idol? And I was like, okay, you figured it out, so I'll just give you the thumbs up, but like, we got to keep it hush hush for now. But yeah, she got it.
Yeah, she is definitely a fan. There's no doubt about it. So you mentioned the interviews and stuff. I mean, was it just day after day of doing interviews while you were out there and and preparing?
So much, and you know, there's only still so much that I can talk about, but so much interviewing, doing stuff for, you know, your state's news stations, like they have you filming stuff for that. They have you doing all sorts of stuff for their social medias. They're covering their bases. I can tell you that much. They have you doing so much. They have you doing psych tests and everything else while you're there. 200 question psych test takes like 3 hours, and so you're doing a good bit. There's definitely no downtime except for when you were waiting for your COVID test to come back, and that was it.
Right. So do you think that as an artist, the whole experience is going to maybe change your approach to social media and the media in general as far as how you use it?
You know, in a way, yes, but I've always been pretty active on my social media accounts and stuff. So I've been able to build a decent following on there. And if anything, it just showed me how important social media is and how you need to be consistent with it. And in that short period of time that I did kind of go silent right before the announcement, it was mainly because I had posted pictures of, you know, LA, me in LA, but I couldn't say for what, but I could say that I was there. And so many people were starting to guess different things, and I just had to, you know, back off just a bit because I had to wait until February to announce it. And so that was definitely the hardest part, but it definitely taught me a lot about some to-do things to put on social media, so.
Well, and that's cool. And that's cool. And yeah, I mean, you've got a great following. And so when things are normal in the world, mm-hmm. I mean, how big is the territory that you try and cover as far as getting out and doing stuff live?
You know, it's been the Carolinas, all over the Carolinas right now, but I'm definitely branching out more and more. And, you know, I think 2021, early 2022 is the year that I'll probably make the move to Tennessee, and just see what happens there. But, you know, I'm trying to branch out as far as I can go and just make connections everywhere I can, because that's the key to this industry is connections. So
who does your production work for you?
In terms of my audio recordings?
Yeah.
My sound?
Yeah.
Studio 101 in Woodruff, South Carolina.
Okay. All right. Cool. We got to give them a plug too, because, you know, your voice is incredible, and whoever the engineer is that you're working with is doing a great job of capturing it. But then, I mean, the mixes are just absolutely flawless. The mastering is incredible. And, you know, when I'm on the air, I'm doing everything through headphones, so I really get to hear it and pick stuff apart. And they're doing a fantastic job for you.
Well, I will definitely have to let him know that you are very complimentary of his work, because he's a great guy. He's awesome. So,
all right, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. No, we covered all the big stuff. And you mentioned, you know, you've got some stuff in the works for us for the rest of the year. You got any shows coming up that you want to plug?
Oh man, there's so many that they just don't even pop in the mind right now. We are booked every weekend from now to through the end of August. So, and even once May 28th, I'm done teaching, and even the weekdays are kind of filled up. So, anybody's interested, they can look on my music page, Dustin Chapman Music on Facebook, and I have most of our events listed right now. I need to add some more, but there's definitely a full page there for them to check out. So,
I'm going over right now. And, you know, it's kind of funny. You have more. You got a nice following, dude. That is so good to see. All right, so let's see. What do we got coming up here? Saturday, you're going to be at Rockfish Creek Winery with Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, April 24th. That's not this coming Saturday. At Safe Harbor Baptist Church on the 25th. May 1st at Tunnel Creek Vineyards. And then you can hit the little see more thing. Yeah, you guys have got, you know, that is so good to see, because after the year that we've all experienced, and,
right,
you know, I can't remember if I whined to you on air or off air about the fact that I only got to see two live shows last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to see that you guys are able to get out, and it is pretty much every weekend. This is cool. Decker's Bar and Grill. Man, that sounds familiar.
It's a blessing, you know what I mean? It's something we're extremely thankful for, and we're thankful for everyone that supports us and goes out and just listens to us and everything else. So,
well, I'm going to do something a little bit different here, Dustin. I don't typically pay attention to the show chat, but I'm going to ask Fitty and Rose in Disney Dazzle if anybody has any questions for you. And you got to understand, there's like a 45-second delay, so we're not gonna get one right away. And while we're waiting for those questions, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media?
Yes, like I said, my Facebook is Dustin Chapman Music. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I'm real big on TikTok now. Is all Dustin Sings 97. And then I also have a YouTube channel, and that's, you know, you can find the Slow Dance music video, Words and Alibis music video, all of that on there. Just search Dustin Chapman on YouTube, and it'll pop right up. And all my music is on all streaming platforms also. So,
And that video for Words and Alibis, that was fun to watch. I don't watch a whole lot of videos just because I'm usually just listening to music.
Right.
But that one was very, very cool. I like that one a lot.
I appreciate it. You know, it was all shot here in Watford, and it's pretty cool. I just made a post asking if I could get any extras to show up, and we had almost 40 people show up, and they all showed up and showed out. So I was really appreciative.
Yeah, Fitty and I got the opportunity to be part of the new Cliff Wheeler Band video here a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. He had me on for like a half a second, which was a quarter of a second too long. but it was fun to see that. So Rose asks, how often do you play at church services?
Before COVID, it was every Sunday. I had a worship leader job. Now we kind of go around to different churches, and it's definitely at least once a month that we have church services booked. So
yeah, it that's going to be a nice thing to be able to see, is to see the churches open back up again.
Mm-hmm.
It's been kind of weird coming down here, and everything's streaming, and it's not the same. Fitty, you've got to have a question, girl. You got to have one. And yeah, I'm putting you on the spot, but I'm allowed to do that because it's like my station. All right, and while we're waiting for her to hear that, I'm trying to think if there was anything else. We talked about your music, talked about how you got into music, and you mentioned the teaching job and the fact that after this year, You won't be teaching, but what has been? Oh, okay, and that's a great question, Fitty. So, what did your students think of the American Idol experience?
They were very upset that they didn't air me. I can tell you that much. They were constantly asking me every day, you know, Mr. Chapman, when are you going to be on? And I kind of just told them, you know, just wait. We all just have to wait and see. And they were bummed. But they thought it was really cool, and in their head, they think I'm famous. You know, they're like, Mr. Chapman's already famous and all this stuff, and I'm just like, you know, it's okay. but so they are constantly asking me to sing songs in class and pulling my music up and listening to it, which is really cool and sweet. And they're a good group of kids, even though, like I said, there's some attitudes there sometimes. They are a good group of kids. So.
Yeah, and as I pointed out, I'm not surprised by the attitude thing. But it's got to be a great experience to be able to take what you know and love, mm-hmm. and teach it to that next generation.
It is. It's awesome. You know, I love seeing, you know, light bulb moments where something just clicks with one of them. And I also just love seeing how passionate some of them are. There's some of them that's just like, well, we don't want to take course to begin with and all this stuff, you know, but that's fine. But there's a lot of them that they truly love it, and they're there and they're singing their hearts out. And you can tell that it's going to be a passion of theirs, just like it was mine at that age. And so it's really cool to see. And it's made me grow as a musician myself too. So
cool. Very cool. And then you mentioned this a few minutes ago, but you're going to make the move to Nashville.
That's the plans. You know, my best friend from Florida, she lives in Florida right now, but she's moving there. And I think her and I are going to get an apartment together and try to make things happen. And it'll be one step at a time, just seeing what we can get into while we're there. So
it's an interesting place. I can, I can tell you that for a fact. It's definitely an interesting place. So are you planning on recording there? Are you going to continue recording in South Carolina? What?
I guess that'll be territory that I have to cross once I get there, you know, just figuring it out. But either way, you know, I'll probably still do some stuff here, you know, where I've been recording, just because they've been so good to me. And so I definitely will always keep in contact and work with them in some capacity. So,
okay. If you decide that you might record in Nashville, I got a name for you. So when that time comes,
okay,
hit me up, because we're playing a couple of artists right now that are being produced by the guy is just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And has actually, taken some really good artists and, mm-hmm. and taken them maybe like a step or two further. If you kind of get what I'm saying here, I mean, he's taken their bass sound and just absolutely mm-hmm. made it shine. So,
wow.
So if you do, we can hook you up.
Hey, I'd appreciate that.
All right, man. Well, I think we've covered everything that we needed to cover tonight. Again, we're looking forward to June and finally being able to meet you and Riley in person. Oh, Fitty wants to know, do you play any instruments besides piano?
You know, I play a little bit of guitar. Definitely not the best at it, but I do play it. And a little bit of bass. So
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, you're doing the country thing, so you got to learn a little bit of guitar.
Right. That's the thing. I was always adamant about wanting to learn piano. Something about the piano to me is just so beautiful, and I was always wanting to learn it. But then I was like, the more I was getting into this, I was like, I'm going to have guitar. So I've been learning, and I've gotten pretty decent. So,
well, will we get to hear any of that? Do any of it live?
I typically don't, but I might have to make an exception for you.
Okay. All right. And Fitty will hold you to that.
All right.
I wouldn't necessarily hold you to it, but I know she will. All right, my friend. This has been great, and this is wonderful. And number one, thank you for taking the time to sit down and chat with me. You know, we now know the Dustin Chapman story, and all I can say is it's been really fun, really since the ISO Awards, just kind of seeing everything that has happened with you and your career. And I can tell you from where I sit, I see some pretty darn good things for you in the future, just because the music is that good and you are that good. And You know, and I could say the same thing about Riley. I'm really excited to see what you guys do here over the course of the next few years. But I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me tonight.
Well, I appreciate you having me on and also playing our stuff and supporting us. It means the world to us. And thank you so much for those kind comments. That means a lot to me. So,
well, this is what I'm going to do, folks. We talked about Words and Alibis. I'm going to let you listen to that. Dustin, you don't go anywhere. We'll say goodbye off the air.
All right.
I've had the opportunity tonight to sit down with Dustin Chapman, and here he is with Words and Alibis. I'll be back at some point.